The Napoleonic era. Napoleon in exile on St. Helena. Napoleon and Sir Hudson Lowe on money. Now, Governor Sir Hudson Lowe first went to talk about money with the Grand Marshal Bertrand to raise the issue of lowering the cost of the British government from 18,000 pounds a year to 8,000 pounds a year, claiming Napoleon's relatives should do more. Lowe said that he had discovered or had discussed this with Count de Montholon, at which point Bertrand responded, quote, "Well, if you have arranged the matter with Montholon, you had better finish it with him. For my part, I desire to have little communication with you as possible," end of quote. Lowe retorted, quote, "I can assure you, sir, that wish is quite reciprocal on my part." And then he left in a rage. Well, Lowe galloped off to Longwood to see the general, but he was told Napoleon was in his bath. Lowe then buttonholed Montholon, showing him the new instructions from England, suggesting that Napoleon write to Prince Eugene for money, and Montholon promised to bring it up with Napoleon. But Lowe wants to get this face-to-face thing out of the way. The next day was Sunday, and the governor was determined to confront Napoleon on the financial question. This time, he brought Admiral Cockburn, Deputy Adjutant General Sir Thomas Reed, and Secretary Major Gorkieri. Napoleon was visiting Las Casas and then later on moved to visit Madame de Montholon. They were having a good time, walking in the garden, laughing. He was teasing her. She was laughing. Then a servant came up and announced that Governor Lowe's group had arrived. I sent a message back saying that, yeah, he was out. But the English were insistent, so Napoleon walked towards the group. When they met, Napoleon walked in front with Sir Hudson Lowe and Admiral Cockburn. Then he is followed by Las Casas, Madame de Montholon, and Major Gorkieri. Napoleon paid no attention to Lowe, but simply chatted with the admiral. Finally, Sir Hudson Lowe had had enough and interrupted. Now, I need to point out here that this is going to be the first and only public confrontation between Sir Hudson Lowe and Napoleon for the rest of Napoleon's life. Okay? The rest of the time, they'll be playing games with paper. So, I'm sorry to importune you on this disagreeable subject, but the very improper conduct of Count Bertrand renders it indispensable. Having received instructions to limit the expenses at Longwood, I mentioned the subjects to Count Bertrand and Montholon. The latter fully met my wishes, but I was desirous to converse with yourself that I might enable to make such arrangements as would be most agreeable to you. I came here for that purpose, but was told you were in the bath, and that you requested I would communicate with Bertrand. In compliance with this request, I went to see the Count, who received me in a very extraordinary manner. Nevertheless, I told him my business and put the necessary papers in his hand. He took them and said he would show them to the Emperor. I proposed to explain when he abruptly replied, "The less communication you and I have, either verbally or in writing, the better." I replied the wish was reciprocal and left him. I think the conduct of Count Bertrand to me as governor of this island highly improper, and particularly so as I called on him at the request of the person he acknowledges as his sovereign. Lowe paused. There was a long silence. Napoleon seemed to be searching for a plan of attack. Suddenly, he turned to the admiral and burst out, quote, "Count Bertrand is a man well known and esteemed in Europe. He has been distinguished and has commanded arms. The governor treats him like a corporal. Madame Bertrand is a lady well-born who has been accustomed to the first place in society. He does not treat her with the regard that is due her. He stops her letters and prevents her from seeing those that wish to visit her, except under restrictions." Then, turning to face Lowe, quote, "Since your arrival, we have experienced nothing but vexations. Your instructions are the same as Sir George Cockburn's. He himself told me so, but you execute them with 50 times more rigor. Of course I had reason to be displeased with some of his proceedings, but our conversations were not fruitless. There is no talking to you. You are quite intractable. You suspect everything and everybody. You are a general, yet you behave like a warden. You have never commanded any men, but Corsican deserters. You vex us hourly by your little ways. You do not know how to conduct yourself towards men of honor. Your soul is too low. Why do you not treat us as prisoners of war? You treat us like Botany Bay convicts. He suddenly stopped and was silent. He was waiting. The governor knew that he was being watched by the witnesses of the scene, and he did everything he could to control himself. I have every desire to make your situation as agreeable as it is in my powers. General Bertrand has written to me that I render your situation dreadful. He accuses me, as you do now, of abuse of power and injustice. I am the subject of a free government. I hold every species of tyranny and despotism in execration, and I will repel every attack upon my character as a calamity against a man who cannot attack with truth. Some men are respected, others are not, Napoleon retorted, obviously alluding to the mission entrusted to Low by the British government. I understand the tactics well. Slander is the last resort when other weapons fail. Breaking the silence that followed, the admiral tried to intervene and prove that ever since his arrival, the governor had been anxious to show his goodwill and pay attention to the emperor. This misunderstanding was entirely a matter of different temperaments and errors resulting from the interference of third parties. Napoleon turned to him quickly and said, quote, "Do you know that he has the meanness to keep a book back from me because I was described on the cover as emperor, and that he has boasted of having done so?" "I boasted of it?" exclaimed Low. "Yes, the late governor of Bourbon, Colonel Keating, told me so." "Permit me to explain this affair of the book," said the admiral. "Sir Hudson showed it to me and told me the author had desired him to give it not as he thought proper. It was a work of little consequence, and Sir Hudson is forbidden from giving you the title of emperor." Napoleon insisted, "But he has sent me letters addressed to the emperor." "Yes, indeed, they came through the Secretary of State's office and from your relations, not Englishmen." Napoleon had been controlling himself with great difficulty and now burst out in the scathing reproaches. "But he has also had the meanness to speak of the contents of our letters that came to him open. My old mother, although I forbade her to write to me, wrote to say that she would come to St. Helena and die with me. This was told round the island, not by me," cut in Hudson Lowe. "Yes, by you. Balcom told me so." Then suddenly he lost his temper completely. "I am an emperor in my own circle and will be so as long as I live. You may make my body prisoner, but my soul is free. Europe will judge of my treatment and the shame of it will fall on the English nation. Even the poor English sentinels weep for my unworthy treatment. You ask me for money to pay for my living? I have none. But I have friends, a great many friends, who would send me whatever sum I required, if I could write to them. Put me on rations, if you please. I can dine with the officers of the 53rd Regiment, and if not with them, with the soldiers." Hudson Lowe said calmly that he had not asked for the post of the governor of St. Helena and would confine himself to carrying out his government's instructions. "If you were ordered to assassinate me, would you do so?" "No, I would not. My countrymen do not assassinate." "I see that you are afraid I will escape. You take useless precautions. Why do you not tie me hand and foot? Then you could have some peace. You are not a general. You're only a clerk. Tomorrow you will receive a letter from me, and I hope it may be known in all of Europe." Turning to the admiral again, he complained that Hudson Lowe had thought it his duty to forbid his communicating in writing with the inhabitants of the island, although Cockburn himself had allowed it. Malcolm tried to calm the troubled waters like the good soldier he was, and argued that bad use had been made of the permission. For a few days before, Madame Bertrand had to carry on a clandestine correspondence with the French commissioner. "The governor tells you so, but it is false," interrupted Napoleon, turning to Low. "It is disgraceful of the Lord Bathurst to send a man like you to guard me. You are no Englishman." "That makes me laugh," said the governor bluntly, perhaps wanting to cut short a dispute which threatened to grow violent. "What? Laugh, sir?" "Yes, sir, I think what I think. I say it not only makes me laugh, it excites my pity to see how misinformed you are with respect to my character and for the rudeness of your manners. I wish you good morning." The English then withdrew, scarlet in the face and obviously furious, followed by his officers. It had been such a stormy scene that Napoleon himself regretted it. Quote, I must not see that man again. He makes me lose my temper, and I forget myself. I said things to him that I would have been inexcusable at the Tuileries. If they are excusable here, it is because I am in his hands and his power. End of quote. In fact, Napoleon kept his word so well that Governor Sir Hudson Lowe had no further chance to quarrel with him. He did not see his prisoner again until May the 6th, 1821, when he had suffered an eternal change and Napoleon was dead. So, that was a wonderful battle between the two of them there. And I would wish to have more of those kinds of exchanges, but they'll be much more subtle. The games will now begin between Napoleon and Sir Hudson Lowe. Now, the sources for this, Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau, Memoirs of St. Helena by Las Casas, Cashier de St. Helena by General Bertrand, St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin, and the Journal of St. Helena by General Gourgaud. The account that I read is from Las Casas' account, since he was standing there and then later took notes. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.